The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 363. Neil Brower interviews Bruce Bilson, 2011, part four. Part four of four. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Go over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com and check things out. They've got the great new book that people have been bragging about, Mayberry Trivia by Scott Hopkins, 1,500 trivia questions. Also a big seller, folks over at Weavers are selling is Mayberry Choppers. We've got mouse pads, sweatshirts, and hoodies with Mayberry Choppers. So stay warm with a Mayberry Choppers t-shirt or sweatshirt over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. The executive producer of episode number 363 is Paul Mulick. Paul Mulick, he's one of our patrons. So thank you, all the patrons who are able to support the podcast. Your donations monthly or weekly, however you're doing that, weekly, to the podcast to help pay for all our hosting fees. So I want to thank you personally. So thank you. Thank you, all of you guys who are here and listening. I want to thank you in particular for dropping by and listening and being a part of the show. This is our fourth episode, the final episode with Bruce Bilson. I said it again, Bilson, not Billison. Bruce Bilson and Neil Brower from 2011. Now, if you haven't listened to the first three, what I'm going to recommend, and we've got some feedback at the end of the episode as well that recommends it, that you go back and watch the video versions of these episodes, of these four, counting today's, four episodes of Two Chairs No Waiting featuring Neil Brower and Bruce Bilson. Because the video, he shows all kinds of things on the video. You really, really are missing out if you don't see it all. Listening to it's great, but I definitely recommend head back and listen, watch, I should say, the video version of these episodes. So I want to thank you again for all of you that have helped contribute to this. Neil Brower, thank you for letting us show these great interviews you've done. And I want to thank Neil and Pat Coleman also for providing the video that we're actually using for the podcast. So, folks, I don't want to hold this up, so let's get this thing going. This is part four of our Bruce Bilson and Neil Brower at Mayberry Day. So take it away, Neil, and enjoy it, guys.
You can see how much time he put into this. And, Bruce, I really appreciate your efforts. It was wonderful.
Well, the best part was I started looking at the old shows. I had not seen them in literally 50 years, you know. And I was just proud of everybody. They were better than I remembered. I remembered what fun it was and what good times it was to work there. But now I really had a look at what good work we did.
We're going to see a dramatic scene now, and this is a testimony to the wonderful good work that this cast and crew put together. This is from Wedding Bells for Aunt Bee.
If the popcorn butter dripped on your dress, bring it in first thing tomorrow.
I will.
Don't put it off.
I'll bring it in the first thing.
Don't forget, you and the family get a discount.
That's very nice of you. Thank you, Fred.
Good night, Bee.
Good night.
Oh, howdy, Aunt Bee. I guess I kind of lost track of time.
Did you sample that berry pie?
Oh, let's take care of that right now.
Oh, no, not for me. No, indeed. Too much popcorn.
Oh, too much popcorn, huh? I believe I'll take a piece out on the front porch, needed such a fine night.
Opie. Hasn't he been asleep?
You fell asleep the minute you left.
Is there something the matter, Opie?
No, I just fell awake.
All I have to say is berry pie and customers come out of the woodwork. Well, I'll get two forks since you're up.
But he said he'll be making pies for Mr. Goff, won't you?
Well, I'll always make an extra one for you, Opie.
Yeah, I think it'll work out just fine, ain't B? Yeah.
I couldn't believe what I saw.
You get home of your own.
It'll mean companionship for a woman my age.
Yes, yes, it will. It's important companionship. Give you somebody to look after you.
Mm-hmm. Give someone for me to look after, too. That's important.
Yeah, it is important. It'll be fine company for you. Just fine.
We can go places and do things.
Yeah, that means a whole lot, too.
He's basically a very fine person.
That's just exactly what he is. Yep. Yeah, all in all, I'd say there's just every reason in the world for you to get married. Well, it's getting late.
Paul?
Hmm?
You left out one of the reasons.
What reason is that?
That Aunt Bee's getting married because she's got that special deep down kind of feeling.
Oh, I was trying to explain about love to the boy.
And Aunt Bee has it for Mr. Goss, don't she?
She sure does. She's got that extra special love for him. Kind I was telling you about that comes from way down deep inside of you. Don't you, Aunt Bee? Don't.
Bruce, a lot of emotion shown there by the characters. How much direction as far as performance would, for instance, Bob Sweeney give to Francis Bavier or Andy or Ron?
Well, you know, we had a rehearsal day, which I really need to talk about that schedule before we leave here. And we would work the scene out, and I don't remember what episode this was, but the actors all knew who they were and what their parts were. So I directed a lot of different things, and when you come in as a new director, you go on the assumption that the regular cast, who are there every week, know who they are and what they are. So if there's anything to direct, it's direction toward what the scene is about. You know, actors who work every day in like an hour show, they go home and they learn the lines and they may not even know what the next scene is, and they play the scene. So the director has to know the script better than anybody, even better sometimes than the guy who did the last rewrite, because rewrites come on colored pages. And so you have to know the script better than anybody, and then these people, I don't think, had to be directed for that scene. maybe Ronnie a little something, but I'm sure Rance brought him in prepared, and Rance is a good actor and knows. So the direction is often first how you're going to shoot it. I thought it was interesting that Sween shot it, and I don't remember shooting it at all, but shot it with Andy sort of away from the front door so they could play that little scene and you could feel that they were not feeling looked at. It was between them, and yet when she walked in, there was Andy, and he had witnessed it and therefore could discuss what happened and that led to the rest of the scene. She was good, wasn't she?
And I think that fans are really interested in Frances Bobbier. Could you share with us your impressions of Frances, and then if you would go from there into your story of the Peeping Tom.
The Peeping Tom, okay. Frances brought it. You know, I got to tell you, she never made a fuss. She never had a problem. She had her little pop beats, pearl things. And in looking at these shows again, I'm just so impressed with what she did. Now, basically, she was she doesn't even have the right screen credit. It's down there with all the day players. I can't believe it. But there's so much stuff with Don and Andy and Opie, and less with her. She came in, she did it, she was always prepared. She bought one of those little Studebakers that looked like they were coming and going around that time, and it was a happy lady and never a problem, and came to work on time and left when she was finished. But one day, we broke for lunch and we came back, and I have to explain, the dressing rooms were little 10 by 10 wooden struck boxes on wheels so they could move them to wherever the work was on a different show. But ours were all sort of permanent, all lined up. Don had one, Andy had one, she had one, Opie had one, and had a schoolroom besides, and makeup was there, and there was certainly one for guest artists. And one day we came back from lunch, and somebody looked, and behind this row of little dressing rooms, they were all boxed right together, somebody was at Aunt B's dressing room drilling a hole, a Peeping Tom. And somebody yelled at him, the guys, and this guy ran out of the stage, and he went running up the street, and everybody was chasing him. And I told you, at the front gate was Harry. Harry was old, but Harry was a very nice guy. And all of a sudden, 20 people are running toward him, and "Stop him, Harry! Harry, stop him!" And Harry had a gun. Harry pulled out his gun and said, "Halt!" and shot up in the air. And Harry then started shaking and almost fell down, and the guy ran past him, and everybody ran up to Harry. "Are you all right?" Right? And nobody ever saw the Peeping Tom again, and I think maybe somebody put chewing gum in the hole and it was all fixed.
We're going to move now from a dramatic scene to one of the excellent comedy scenes. This is from Barney and the Choir.
Yeah, I love it too.
This here is a solo microphone. Very, very sensitive. This thing will amplify your voice 1,000 times.
Really strong.
Strong. You blast away at this thing, and you'll bust every eardrum in the auditorium.
What do I do?
You have to sing real low. Real low. Now try it.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Hold it. Do that. Low.
Bonnie and Clyde.
That's still too loud. When I mean low, I mean real low. Don't take much to be heard. Try it again.
Bonnie and Clyde, breathing breezes are blowing.
No, that's still too loud. Still way on too loud. Believe me now. Tomorrow night, when this microphone's hot and the amplifiers are amplified and the acoustics and all, well, I tell you what, You just keep singing softer and softer, and when you got it about right, I'll tell you.
Mommy and life breathing. Mommy and life.
That's it. That's it. You've got it. Now you do it just like that and you'll come through fine.
Andy, I was barely making a sound.
You think you was barely making a sound. But tomorrow night, when this microphone's on, and you sing like that, your glorious voice will reverberate all through this hall. Won't it, Ken?
Tell us about the technical difficulties, well, or what was done technically to do this.
No, obviously you had to have a playback for both of them. So that was recorded, I'm sure the solo at least, and I think probably the whole number, but all those extras behind the recognizable actors that you knew, I didn't bring them there. I think they were singers, and that I, you know, 50 years ago, folks, but for Don to do that, there had to be a playback, so it had to be recorded, and then he could be cued, and it usually they go click, 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 bang, and you sing, and that's the way most musical numbers are done. On this show, I notice that when Andy is picking and singing, it's always in the long shot. And they never intercut it except maybe some fingers, because that was done live. I mean, he had the talent. He even had the guitar. So that was done that way. But this baby, which I love, man, there had to be a playback for Don to work through. But how he started out and how he built it, how he went, and even how they got him down, you know, it got halfway, and then Andy, the writing, everything, it was just really one of my favorite scenes.
Now, when they would say cut, and the filming was completed, what would be the response of the crew when they saw such a performance as this?
Well, they would probably laugh out loud because they've been trying to hold it in and not be on the soundtrack. We did that a lot. I mean, sometimes actors break up, you know, and you've all seen that kind of stuff. I did a scene in Get Smart with Don Adams and Bernie Capel in a submarine, and they broke each other up. I had to have each one leave the stage for the other one to do his lines.
Can you tell us a little bit about what Andy was like on the set?
Well, you know, I don't know how to answer that. We were all friends. We all had work to do, and we did it, and we did it well, and we had consideration for each other, and we knew we were doing good, and that's why it was such fun. And there were no problems. I mean, anybody can come in one morning and say, oh, what a night. But, and Andy did a couple of times, but who doesn't, you know? He got to say it out loud better than we could because we just said, hi, good morning, you know, when you had a bad night.
Bruce, as a director, when you look back on the Andy Griffith Show with a critical eye, how would you critique it? What would you say about the Andy Griffith Show?
When I just looked at the first 32 episodes, and it was better than I thought it was going to be, and it held up better than I thought it would. And Andy was a better actor than I thought he was. And Aunt B and Ronnie and Don killed me.
What does it mean to you to have been part of a series that is so dearly loved by its fans?
Well, you know, I always say that was one of my two best jobs. But seeing what's going on here and how people feel and come and know so much about every pimple on everybody's nose, it just... it's sort of overwhelming, and with such deference and such love for what we did, it's speechless. How's that?
I think that's a good way to end. Would you please thank Bruce Bilson?
Thank you. Thank you, Bert.
So there we have it, Bruce Bilson and Neil Brower, 2011. That was a great series of interviews. I hope you guys enjoyed that. The crowd is still clapping for him as he's preparing to leave the stage. And folks, I mean, I need to turn my camera back on, I suppose. But that was just absolutely amazing. Amazing interview. I was enjoying it so much just listening to that. It was funny there at the end too when he's talking about everybody knows every pimple on everybody's nose. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed that. I know I have enjoyed this. Again, I want to thank Neil for allowing us to use these performances that he is part of, where he interviewed these guys and ladies. And we'll have more of these. We got more coming. We have some more. We actually have more with Bruce, but we won't show those right away because we just went through four episodes of that. But he appeared again in 2015, so we have those as well. I believe next up we'll probably show some stuff with Morgan Brittany. So I hope you'll enjoy that. Next week we may hit up some information about the bullet and a little bit more from Bruce that he did in 2011 when he appeared at Colonel Tim's. Now, if you're at the live show last week, because after the recording of the podcast every week on the live show, I show videos and talk about things that are not in the actual podcast, but I ran across some video of Bruce talking at Colonel Tim's Talent Time in 2011 that added some more information that we didn't get out of these four episodes we've already gotten. He gave a little bit more information while he was at Colonel Tim's. So we'll make sure you all see that or hear that as well. Folks, this has been such a pleasure. I hope you have enjoyed it. I'd love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415 and let me know what you think. What'd you think about all these episodes? We've got a voicemail coming up from Jennifer following, I'm going to close it out here and throw it over to her. It's been a great pleasure to be able to bring these to you. I hope you have enjoyed them anywhere near as much as I have bringing them to you. Thank you to Mr. Bilson as well for sitting down and spending all that time with us here in Mayberry. Thank you for all you did to bring the Andy Griffith Show to life. That's the main thing. So I'm going to throw this on over to Jennifer. And folks, I'd love to hear from you. Like I said, 888-684-8415. Or you can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. I would love to hear from you. So let's, just like Jennifer did. So she gave me a call. So let's hear her. And we'll see you guys next time here on Two Chairs. Wait, let me start the audio. Here you go.
Hey, Alan. I am thoroughly enjoying these Bruce Bilson episodes. And I heartily agree that these need to be watched. I am a podcast listener. I usually download to my MP3 player and listen on my way to work or whatever. And I heeded your warning that these should be watched and not just heard. And what a treasure Bruce Bilson is. And so fascinating to see his recollections and watch him point out various points of interest in the pictures that were shown. And I love Ron Howard, and I love seeing his, you know, recollections of Ronnie when Ronnie was a Ronnie and not Ron. And I still so admire him. I think that Ron Howard has my vote as best child actor of all time. I even posted that on his IMDb website. I just think he's phenomenal. And this is a great look back through a really neat man.